the next presentation will be in 3D change detection on digital elevation models, and will be done by three people, Jordan Bates and Muhammad and Tanmoy. And we have met each other at various places before, like Phosphor-G in Tanzania and in QGIS user conference in Akurunya already, so we see each other all the time. Please.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for that introduction. Good evening, everyone. I'm Jordan, like you said, and this is Hassan and Tanmoy. We are all three students in the Erasmus Mundus Masters of Science at Geospatial Technology. This project was just a part of a final project in a course. We decided to develop a plugin for QGIS within a month, a couple of weekends, and this is what we came with. It's titled 3D Change Detection, a QGIS plugin with Python 3. So saying that, it is a relatively modest plugin, but we believe that it is being used for a purpose that could be trending and also give you some ideas with those trends. So a little bit more about our program. Like I said, it's the Erasmus Mundus Master of Science in Geospatial Technology. It's from the European Commission. It gives grant money to these three universities, University of Yame, University of Munster, and also University of Nova at Lisbon. And they bring in students from all over the world. And in particular to this year, for the 2020 graduating class, those are the 20 countries that are represented in this program, so it is quite diverse. It is a beautiful program. And so the three of us have become pretty great friends among the two semesters we've been working together on many projects. What's funny is that we often get reminded of how unique our relationship is, even when we're coming into customs into Romania. When they heard that we were traveling together and we were friends, one from Bangladesh, one from Pakistan, and one from the United States, they're like, something has to be going on. This is very suspicious. And then we told them that we go to school together. And they're like, okay, now you're lying. Also we want to talk about a conference. One of our courses is to increase air capacity in management, and so we design our own conference and put it on as well. And it's going to be hosted this year in Castellón, Spain. And it's free registration. You just show up and you can hang out with us and talk about GIS. If you're feeling want to be a little more involved and actually submit a paper to talk about, you can actually receive 500 euros in grant money to travel there as well. So we'd love to have you guys and continue to talk about GIS topics. Okay, going back to the plugin now. Once again, the title is 3D Change Detection. We just recently published it into the QGIS repository. And the whole plugin, it's a lot of not new functionalities, there's a lot of native functionalities, but it's going to be used for a type of use case that we think is unique, but also going to be trending in future terms, such as unmanned aircraft systems and more aerial data that's very detailed. And you can get very beautiful DSMs and DTMs from that. And we have applied tools to help you create change detection and also assess the errors and accuracy of those functions. So, like we said, unmanned aircraft industry, everyone knows this. It's the cool thing now. Everyone's using drones and getting very detailed data. So, for an instance, just to show you the example of that, traditional satellite data, 30 meters ground sampling distance, and that's what it would look like. And the same area being mapped with a unmanned aircraft system, which we mapped ourselves with the Phantom 4, you can get 15 centimeters ground sampling distance, and you can see how detailed it can be when you put into 3D Viewer and QGIS with those pixel values for Z. The idea of development was with digital service models becoming more detailed, we thought that people might start implementing use cases like this that we're going to be showing you and talking to you about. And we wanted to simplify and automate that process, which takes quite a few different tools to make this happen, along with also when you get to the error assessment part, it gets pretty tasking. So we wanted to automate that. And then also for those that aren't experts and also new to GIS, some type of open source tool for them to use maybe for those that are coming from the drone industry and wanted to do some of a change detection with DSMs. Also, we think we came up with somewhat of a unique idea to do an air assessment with DSMs that are created from unmanned aircraft systems or aerial data, whether it be photogrammetry or LIDAR, when they're being interpolated into those DAMs, and how to see how accurate they are. So this is the user interface for the plugin. So first off, it's just simply the old raster, the new raster, and then the functionalities we've included were the minimum change threshold that you can put, which you change that based on the sensor accuracy that you're using, and then also the data alignment. It's really hard to get a pixel-to-pixel alignment perfectly, even using ground control points, so you want to also define that threshold based on what you think that misalignment is between those two DEMs, and then also, depending on your project's focus, how much change are you actually looking for that's significant to yourself. And then also, we have the shape file mask that you can put in there, whether that be the building footprints. For instance, if you're doing like change detection for disasters between buildings, if you have the data before and after, you can just do those building footprints and eliminate all the other noise around the buildings and just focus on the buildings, or define a study area on other applications such as river basins, and also this improves processing time. And then also we have the error probability maps, which is an optional functionality like we've been talking about that we believe is kind of unique, that shows you where possible errors are when you're generating DEMs from point clouds, from photogrammetry and LIDAR data. And also we have a help button because we've created a wiki page on the GitHub page which explains all this to you and instructions. So yeah, this is just a quick methodology of how that the GUI we've created and all the functions that are within the plugin and how process. And so the output would look like this if you actually use building footprints as the mask. And we actually manipulated the data a bit to show that if a roof caved in this instance. And so you can see here with the surrounding area cut out, it's just leaving the buildings and showing what areas are actually damaged for those buildings. And you can also apply other base maps once that masks have been implemented as well. And so this is another example if you're just going to use it for a river basin. We got this example data for the Riverscapes Consortium. And you can see here in the 3D viewer QGIS, seeing the change, the decrease in red and the increase in blue. And so I'm going to hand it off to Tomoy so he can talk a little bit about the error assessment we did in this plugin.
Hello. One of the main problems when you are doing working with high-resolution imagery, especially for DEMS, is that there will always be data errors. Now, these errors can be in the form of inconsistencies or data gaps. For example, taking photogrammetry, because of reflective surfaces, the data is not captured appropriately. And in case of LIDAR, there may be cliffs or some other sorts of obstructions that actually do not allow the data to be captured properly. So in this case of cases, when you take your data and you apply any kind of interpolation, it just becomes a mess. So what we tried to do was we tried to find some literature on how do we actually take the areas that is possibly can be an error. So for example, this was the thing I was talking about. Say, for example, in the photogrammetry, your data is missing because of the reflective surfaces. So as you can see, after the interpolation, there is an excessive of over-smoothing. So this over-smoothing, when applied and you use the plugin, you will get an answer. Obviously, you will get whether there is a decrease or increasing change. But the thing that you'll not understand is whether actually that change is actually happening there or not. Because here, actually, this is actually a river, and because of the over-smoothing, you cannot actually figure out what is going on. So we tried to do the error possibility calculation based on Riley's method, which was published in 1999. It was initially called as the ruggedness index. But we tried to apply the ruggedness index with relation to topography and slope. What was done here was that we all know that there is a D8 connectivity between a single cell. So a single cell is surrounded by 8 cells. So these 8 cells have different elevations. Some are higher, some are lower. So when you take a difference in the elevation, you get somehow you get a difference as positive or negative. So we square that difference between them, and then we take a square root of the total sum of the errors. So this is the spatial heterogeneity that you get when you try to do any kind of ruggedness index, topographic ruggedness index. These tools are presenting QGIS and other open free software, but the thing is that just with the help of that, you'll not be able to identify which areas are actually potentially have errors in them. So what we did was, whenever there is an abrupt smoothing or any kind of abrupt change, we tried to apply a slope continuity function to that. So when you apply a slope continuity function to that, you get an area that that is supposed to change but is not changing, or is supposed to but is not changing but is supposed to change. So the algorithm basically takes out those areas which it probably thinks is a possibility. There is a small limitation here, saying that because since it is an error possibility map, so the user has to check whether it is actually an error or not. Most of the times we have found that actually it is an error, but sometimes it also happens due to the bounding boxes, especially in buildings. Just to show a bit more here. So basically this is one of the errors that we are talking about. When you apply the error possibility algorithm to this, so you get these extracted areas. Now, these have actually come very properly. We did not even think that it would come so nicely, but it works. But there are some possible values that get interchanged, and there is still a need for implementing this, and that will be applied in our future version upgrading this plugin. So what was the future is the type of things that the user needs to know about, like when I said about the bounding box, about the area. So as you can see, the correct one is actually the building that you are seeing on the left, but the incorrect one. But sometimes these kind of changes are also not taken up by the error possibility map because of the it is surrounded by a specific slope. So it does not actually basically understand whether there is actually a changing slope that was not supposed to be there, or there was a no changing slope that was supposed to be there. So these kind of things are some of the future assessment. We are trying to evaluate the algorithm inside a bounding box, especially for buildings, so that you can actually see the error possibility more. And you can also have a confidence level as to what the error actually is. Now I'll hand it over to Hassan.
Thank you. So here we take a look at the use case that we tested this plugin on. And basically what we did was collect the drone data for this region ourselves. And this is just showing all the sample points where we took the information from. And it's just a fly-through of the area. As you can see, we collected a lot of data to get this high-resolution DEM using the Phantom 4 drone, as Jordan already said. And it's just a nice way to see how it actually flew. What were the points where we actually collected the data from. And what is the basic concept is that you take you fly the drone and collect the data before a disaster strikes. When a disaster strikes, you fly the drone again and you collect again data. The data is not playing. It's fine. Yeah. So you collect the data again, and you basically make a comparison between the DEM from before the disaster struck and after the disaster struck, and you identify the regions that are affected most. And this is, can be the use case. Depending on the use case, you can change the threshold and get different information. So, for example, if you're trying to find out if only the regions that had like complete collapse, you'd have to increase the threshold. And you can also use the threshold to cater for the misalignment between the two DEMs that you get. This is a fly-through of the data that we collected in QGIS. As you can see that it's... I don't know why it stopped. Okay, so this is a working demo, a small demo. We clipped the area from that. And this is, first we select the old raster, which is the DEM from before the disaster struck, and then we select the DEM from after the disaster struck. Then we add the mask to only work on the data that we, areas that we want to work on. This could be like building footprints, and areas where you want to focus the change detection on, actually. Then you let the tool run and you get the output, which you can then visualize in the 3D view. And you can see based on the color map ramp on the left side that these are the regions where the actual damaged buildings are. So what are the future plans? So the, as Jordan, I think, already said, the plugin is already available in the GitHub, in the plugin repository, in the QGIS plugin repository, but we are still working on it, and we have made some changes already, which we will upload pretty soon. And the things that we are currently working on are the resampling automation, and we are trying to improve the processing and to optimize the code, because it takes a little bit time to process all these high-resolution DEMs. And we're trying to get the use the new 3D functionalities that have been developed in QGIS 3 and are being developed in a very rapid pace, and to incorporate them into the DEM and try to handle as many new error types as we can to make the plugin more stable and cater for more use cases. In conclusion, what we've done here is we've used non-original functions for original applications and trying to address new trends. Our focus here has been on the high-resolution DEMs that are usually coming from UAVs, and that is why the error possibility maps that we are creating are basically based on the data that is coming from LiDARs or UAVs. Still, we know that many improvements can be made, and since the code is available on GitHub, and we welcome all contributions and all help, and please try it out and let us know how we can improve, and please contribute as well. And what we've done is we've realized that new functionality needs have been found as more and more data has been collected, and this specific use case is because of the increase of the data that is being created by drones everywhere. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you for this interesting presentation. Very nice also to see this international collaboration. It's definitely in the spirit of this conference, I think. And are there any questions on the plugin or on the change detection?
Hey, guys. Great presentation. Thanks. I just have a question, because, like, you're, as far as the resolution spectrum is concerned, you're talking either about UAS or SRTM was your comparison. And in the middle, you can have DSM from satellites, which is like 1 meter, basically. So my question is, what's the minimum resolution that you think is where it still makes sense to use your tool? As in, like, you know, how will the error increase, for example, for satellite-based DSM?
Yeah, so we were just talking about more like open source satellite imagery. I'm not sure if is there open source 1 meter?
Well, I guess you
can find
some.
DM, okay.
Yeah,
not very common. Yeah, no. I don't think their possibility will really be applied to that situation. It's more for those data that are coming from point cloud data being processed with a lot of the typical drone processing software, using photo, whether it be through photogrammetry or also LiDAR, and then interpolating that into a DEM. And when there's missing data, there's over-smoothing with those missing gaps in that interpolation, and so it's addressing that issue. So I don't think it would be applicable with the satellite data. No.
Hi, yes. I noticed that you used the PIX4D to do the calculations to create the DEM. So in your process of creation of the DEM, you used actually structure for motion techniques, or you just took up the points and then you interpolated to create the DEM? Basically, the question is how you generate the DEM through...
Yeah, we used QGIS. No, sorry. We used PIX4D.
PIX4D. So yes. If I remember correctly, PIX4D uses structure for motion to create the surface. Is that correct?
It uses the motion?
Structure for motion.
Structure.
SFM.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Now, the next part of the question is that these surfaces, they do have an error surface. There is an error, basically, in its DEM. So when you are doing the change detection, are you somehow propagating the errors of the two DEMs So you would have the total error.
No, we're just doing the error in the old
just
old
the difference.
And the new one, and just saying that
the
when they're processed, yeah.
In the threshold, if it's over that threshold, it's that.
Yeah, that there was a probably a interpolation error on the old one, interpolation error on the old one. So most likely, this change you're seeing here is not accurate. It's just the interpolation error.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, and also the change from the error is also shown in purple, as you can see there. So even if you can see the change, the area is selected for you in purple so that you can actually notice that, okay, this is the area that I should be careful about before making a decision.
Thank you. There's still time for questions, if you have any. Should have stayed there.
Hi, guys. I've got a question. What are the possible output formats from your module?
Okay. That's raster.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you said was the processing time?
No. What are the formats?
Output. Just raster.
Raster.
Yeah.
Okay. Were you considering shapefile, for example, for areas
No. But I mean, that's something we could implement. We could.
Okay.
Put that as a optional functionality in the plugin. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Other good questions?
That's quick and quick question. How much time do you need to create 1 square kilometers of your dam or something like this?
Yeah, the use case actually was 1. Yeah, it was 1.5 square kilometers. I think it took like an hour to process. The change. The whole extent. It's like an hour. Maybe 30 minutes. Yeah, as fast as 30 minutes. We were able to do 1.5 square kilometers.
Any other comments or questions? If not, then thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
Can prepare for the next speaker.